Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Halloween Eve, I guess. Here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. It is indeed a Thursday. Let's have all of the fun of a Thirsty Thursday, as we usually do, including getting involved with the program. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. And then also, always appreciation to the Mocarum Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. And fellas, how we doing here?
They ought to change the name of this show to the Three Putzes.
if you can't see us, and if you did not hear Crosstalk, which again was brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing with Payne and Pendergast, we are all dressed as characters from Coming to America. Mm-hmm. Our office Halloween party is today, and so you know I am dressed up as one of Eddie Murphy's many characters. Yes. In that film. Yes. I am Akeem. The Prince of Zamunda, except I am in my full McDowell's outfit. And my boss for the day, and honestly kind of always, is one Figgy Fig dressed up as Cleo McDowell.
I sure am.
And then, of course, because he is an old man,
hey,
spiritually, it made sense for Lopez to be the old man that Eddie Murphy plays in the studio or in the barbershop. Saul is apparently his name. So Paul. We're going to have a lot of fun here on a Thursday. But again, we're still gearing up for all the things that we are. We got Rockets basketball last night in Canada. We got the Texans gearing up for what is going to be a pivotal game on the season right ahead of the trade deadline. There's a lot of things to talk about. And we had our typical Wednesday situation where you had D'Amico and CJ Stroud speaking to the media. And one of the things about the CJ interview is he sounded so damn confident. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's the most confident I've heard CJ in front of a microphone all season long. And I think sincerely that that's very much because there was probably a good subsection of three or four questions, mm-hmm. where CJ was just talking about his faith and his belief. And if there's one thing we know about CJ and one thing I'm even more solidified, that is where he finds his foundation. That's why where he finds his core. That's where he finds his most confidence.
There's no question about that. I believe in that, what you just said. But I also think it was a reflection of not just the faith. It was a reflection of the buy-in, that let's face it. I mean, the guy was an absolute, and this is my opinion, but I think it's shared by a lot of people. He was a mess for a long time, and he seemed to lack confidence. He talked a couple of times about, rough, tough conversations, his body language, everything was a mess. And then I guess something just clicked at some point, and it certainly came to bear in this past game against the Niners. And so I think a lot of it is he needs to get some credit for that. Like, it's so easy. Seth was talking about how hard it is for NFL or for professional sports owners to stay the course, to rebuild and understand that you're going to take all kinds of lumps, but it'll come out best in the end. You could say the same thing about CJ Stroud. A lot of people just bail on the whole concept. I kind of feel like, and certainly this week's game is going to be a big, you know, barometer on that, a big test. But I think it's a reflection of, oh, okay, it is paying off, you know?
Okay, so because you've been heavy on this CJ buy-in portion of this.
Yes.
Like you've talked a lot about this, and I'll admit I'm a little bit less willing to jump into
that
end of it. But I think it does. It's worth bearing out and thinking about the idea of CJ Stroud with yet another, you know, another offense coordinator, first time offense coordinator, and it's reasonable to look at them and go, is this going to be something that is productive for him? As he clearly had issues with what this offense was last year. There was questions as to what this offense brought and helped. Did it help him become and be the best version of himself as a quarterback?
Right.
I can see how maybe those questions are there. This is going to be a very, very interesting game headed in if that's the case. But CJ Stroud, I'm hoping that, and maybe this is too much of a stretch, it's fair to ask that. I'm hoping that what clearly is grounding him, and he, you know, when he talks about his faith, even in talking about his faith, he had some of the sentiment.
No, I think so.
He had some of the sentiment of, you know, I've had some backsliding or whatever, you know, and I feel like I'm, you know, returning to a better place. I do wonder how much that also helps him on the field. And again,
no, I think they go together.
Yeah.
You know, people often talk about, and sometimes, you know, it's kind of an eye roll because you're like, what? But it's real. You know, it's about centering yourself. I think that's where he found, you know, his center. You know, I think that's where he found that. Now, let's be very clear here. It's not a done deal yet.
Not even close, right? Like, not even close to a done deal, because someone on the text line, and again, the number to text, 713-572-4610 from the 713, CJ is only good when they play sorry defense. I wouldn't go that far. However, the actual productivity and really the results, the final line of anything that we do in sports, whether or not you want to be process-oriented or not, the final line, the ultimate barometer of whether or not you're getting the job done, the wins and losses, those things have tracked with playing a sorry defense or playing a team that is battered and bruised. And you cannot call this Broncos team that's coming into NRG Stadium on Sunday that. They will not have Patrick Surtain, which is a huge hit for them, and we can talk even more about that as we go. However, that does not fall in line with the trend of getting the job done, even from the quarterback position. And so how much do you then look at this confidence that you see from him on the podium on a Wednesday and extrapolate that to, you know, the confidence that you seem to see, the buy-in that you seem to see, and being able to get the job done against a defensive line that's really good at getting after the quarterback?
No,
it's
easy to be this confident when you're coming off a game like you just did. You know, I do think, as much as I said, it's not a done deal yet, you got it done this weekend against this pass rush with you know, this offense, and CJ's still looking the, you know, the, like, his confident self and running the offense and disciplined, which is a word that I used on Monday, and D'Amico used that word yesterday, and I've heard others talk about it, you know, being that disciplined to be able to stay with the offense. If he does do it this weekend, then we can start thinking about, okay, maybe he has turned the corner.
Yeah, but there's real challenges. We talked to Zach Bye yesterday. He hosts out there in Denver when we went behind enemy lines. And one of the things he made very clear, and I mean, you don't even need someone to tell you that if you go and look at the stats, this D-line is a menace. And I'm glad that we talked to Zach, because it's very evident to see Nick Benito, who has a whole bunch of sacks, good speed rush guy. It's easy to look at Jonathan Cooper on the other side of him and go, okay, they've got two pinchers on the end, right? We've seen that for a good amount of time here with Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter, right? When you have those pressures on the edges, those are particularly tough. But one thing we know about C.J. Stroud and this offense and this offensive line, what really blows things up is that pressure up the middle.
Yep.
And that Zach Allen kid,
yep.
I was so glad that Zach Bye mentioned this yesterday when we were talking to him, because I went back and I watched, not the Cowboys game, because the Broncos' last game was against the Cowboys, and they are such an up-and-down team. And when I say up-and-down, I mean the offense is incredible, the defense is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think that tells you stuff about that opponent. I went back to their previous game against the Giants, and very quickly into looking at that game tape. Oh, look at this cat, number 99 in the middle, Zach Allen.
Yeah.
Like, he shows up. That is a thing that could be problematic in the interior of this offensive line, especially when you remember, hey, Jake Andrews, we appreciate you winning that position at center. He hasn't been incredible. Left guard, you have a rotation where neither of those guys have been incredible to varying degrees of success you've had there.
Yeah.
Those guys are going to be under pressure from the middle. Can they hold up? Because all of this confidence is all nice and good. When he has someone in his kitchen, that changes the dynamic of this.
100%. And that's my one, hesitance on this whole thing. And I've said it multiple times. You got to kind of be perfect with running this offense.
Yeah.
You know, you got to kind of be perfect. And that's a lot easier, you know, as much as we don't want to take away too much. the Niners were depleted. You know, the Ravens were depleted. You know, so if you got to be perfect, let's see how they do against a real defense, because there's no excuses here.
But the one of the things that's nice, right, is, again, trying to give C.J. Stroud that credit, right? The confidence that he seems to have, both on the field from last week, but then also on, you know, in his press conference, his availability yesterday. One of the things that's nice is we've compared this two-game stretch to the two-game stretch, or like to the way that you went from the Ravens game to your immediate next game against a tougher challenge. Were you able to translate that? No.
Yes.
What is nice about this time, where you go from, you know, this game against the Broncos, or not against the Niners, where you get a victory, and then you get a tougher challenge the next week, you get it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And the comforts of home, does that end up aiding in and helping this one go a lot different than that Monday night game
right.
in Seattle? We will see, and a lot more to talk about when it comes to this game and everything else here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next in the loop, the Rockets got a victory against the Raptors last night. However, call me Mr. Negative, that's fine. What happens? Just go with me. What happens if the Rockets aren't good on defense? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to you. I'm Reginald Atatula alongside the OG John Lopez and Figgy Fig. If you're watching on one of the Mokeyram Injury Lawyers live streams, you might not see that our company party is today. And I should introduce ourselves differently. We're dressed as a number of characters from Coming to America, having fun, headed into Halloween. 713-572-4610. What costumes are you getting gearing up for on the weekend, if you are indeed doing something like that? Appreciate
it. The man got his own money.
if you hear Coming to America drops or quotes, just know. That's why. That's what's happening over here at Studio 8507 Queens Boulevard. All right. The Rockets got a victory. In fact, they got themselves level. They got their first road win of the season. 139-121 versus the Toronto Raptors, who fall to 1-4. That's neither here nor there. However, your Rockets getting some victories, you know, putting those together, putting up a whole bunch of points. But interestingly enough, within this, Rockets defense. We now have four games, which is still a tiny, tiny sample size,
yeah.
Right? Not even 5% of the season. But I do find it interesting because the question came to mind, what happens if the Rockets aren't good on defense? That's one of those things that I think we kind of came to expect and kind of took for granted coming into the season. Well, yeah, last year they were incredible on defense, top five type defense. And so you keep that, you add Kevin Durant, boom, you know, you're off to the races. But the question I ask here, and again, feel free to add in, 713-572-4610. What happens if they aren't?
You know, here's what I was thinking, and as I'm watching this game last night, how long is Ime going to be like, this rotation is good, or this defensive alignment is good? He's not wired that way. I mean, he's wired in such a way that it has to be good. On the perimeter, their perimeter defense was atrocious. I mean, here's the thing, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, but the scoring was incredible, obviously.
139, yeah. What is this, seven players in double digits?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It went around pretty nicely. Like, this team can really score
to
basketball.
Is he going to be able to change sort of his approach with this squad?
That's a great question.
Or
I'm
is
not
he
sure going
to say,
of.
Look, we got to change this up?
I think that there's clearly, again, It's early. There's going to be some level of working to find more defense from a different number of perspectives. One, when you have more of your personnel back. I sincerely believe Josh Okogie is starting because he's like, hey, I need a little bit more defense than what I've been seeing.
That's what kind of gave me the idea.
But then Dorian Finney-Smith, mm-hmm. who is probably your chief acquisition defensively, has not played yet. He's still rehabilitating mm-hmm. from his ankle surgery earlier on in the offseason. So I think that that's going to be a big addition. Plus, these guys haven't played together, even though there's a lot of guys that have. Your starters, you only have three of your five guys that were starters last year, and Jabari Smith Jr. fell out of the starting lineup when Amen mm-hmm. kind of took his growth. They're figuring out what this looks like together defensively, I think, still with that. And in that finding, one of the things, you know, I talk about, and maybe I talk about too much, who knows, but like that defensive organizational hub, that player.
No, that's a factor.
Much like a Draymond Green for the Warriors, that mm-hmm. kind of gets guys in the right place, that talks to kind of connect everything. I don't know who that is on this team yet, and maybe they're trying to find that. However, I do think it is possible that this team just is not nearly as good defensively as they had once been.
Well, right. So far they haven't been. And what you're talking about is crucial. I'm actually getting more and more in line with that because I'm watching them not even just close out. Closing out is something that you just do. But I'm talking
sometimes they're hesitant to do that.
But I'm saying, I'm not saying it hadn't been a problem. For goodness sakes, the Raptors made 21 3-pointers.
52.5% from three.
Yeah. So that right there tells you about the closeout. But I'm talking about before the closeout, like when the ball is on one angle or one side of the court and you're not getting up to deny, you know, the next skip pass or around, you're not in, and that's communication.
Right.
That is what you're talking about. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, they're not getting up. They're not getting up to deny or even get a hand up or something like that. That said, they're rebounding. That was about as overwhelming a rebounding performance as you can find. And their points in the paint. So the bigs are good offensively, offensive rebounds, scoring, and all that. And that's where I started thinking, like, is he going to say, okay, this is what we are?
And that's a question that I'm asking. I'm not sure that that's the answer, right? It's way too early for us to settle on an answer there. But I think it's worth asking the question, is this? Because you did mention a lot of the things that you look at defensively, you go, hey, they have that, right? They are getting blocks. They are, I mean, the rebounding battle you mentioned, 53-22 was how you rebounded the Raptors. Now, of course, the Raptors did go small in this game at times, but you have those advantages, and yet still, I'm still looking at this defense and going, there's ways to get at it. I think, funny enough, I know that the question sounds negative. I will take somewhat of a positive bent. I do think the answer to what happens if this defense isn't as good is there's a slight cap on what this team could be, mm-hmm. but they could still be incredibly good because what you've seen early on is that in watching this offense, it doesn't look like it's really well tethered together yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room to grow, and they are still putting points up like it's going out of style. Like they are printing points. Like this, they got the NBA mint of points over here just printing them. And so I think that this could be a team that just decides we're going to boat race you.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's been so far. And the other part of that, and I don't know if it's negative or positive, is does it translate? Does it translate to against the really good teams? Does it translate when games are called a little harder? And, of course, postseason, when games are called entirely differently.
Right. I think that's the real question for me. And even still, I think that they score on a level where you get to the postseason and they can still boat race. I think when you get to the highest of echelons, which, to be fair, could be an issue because let Jabari Smith Jr. tell it, let anybody on this Rockets team tell it, this is a championship or bust type of team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this is championship or bust type of defense right now. And so that's where it gets interesting. But I also don't think that they need to be
the lockdown defense that they once were. It's just got to be better than this.
Well, and then there's this, and this could be a really good thing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I haven't looked at all the numbers, but I've watched enough games and watched enough highlights and followed it close enough so far. Scoring is way up just across the league.
I'm glad you brought this
up. Scoring is way up.
Can I take you to, in fact, let me do this first. You know Tim Legler.
Mm-hmm.
How do you value him as an NBA analyst?
Very good.
He's one of the best out there. This was Tim Legler talking about the NBA in general right now, some of the trends, statistical trends that he's seeing early.
Listen to some of these numbers, Bill. Like here, a week into the season, there are 27 teams in the league committing more fouls per night per game than the league leader last year. The league leader last year was like whatever it was, like 23 fouls a game. There's 27 teams committing more fouls than that a week into the season. There's a couple more. There are 10 teams right now, 10, averaging 30 plus free throw attempts a game. You know how many did it last year? None. And then one more. Right now, there are 11 players taking 10 plus free throws a game.
Oh my God. That's
last
like Giannis
year,
territory.
One, Giannis Antetokounmpo was the only player in the league last year. There are 11 guys averaging 10 or more free throws. I actually think it's because of the lack of discipline defensively.
It is, but I think some officiating has obviously come into that. He mentioned the free throws and they're calling those things. I think just in general, it's a better scoring league. So really, maybe the Rockets are actually in a good place because of the better scoring teams, they're one of the best.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. But I do wonder if this trend will stick because, as he's mentioned, I think he's right. I think the defense, especially like the discipline defensively, has been so rough. You're right. Offenses are continuing to get better and better in a way that's so tough to keep up with. But defenses are kind of rough, but it's early on, right? We saw how training camp went. It was like a week and we were into preseason, right? Or into the season. It's so limited that I want to see how teams develop over the season, including these Rockets. But the starting place is not where I thought it would be. However, it's weirdly enough, I'm not as worried about the starting place. I am interested, however, where they will ultimately land defensively because I think that could be a barometer of where they finish up the end of the season.
I'm interested in just some of the basic stuff that we're not seeing that you see year in, year out. Like I said, just denying a ball, knowing how to go over or under a screen. It's not coaching. It's the same coaches by and large.
Well, I think this Rockets team, that's one of the things where it's easy to go, oh, give me all the big talented players. That's cool. Those are the small things that come on the outside. Like the screen navigation. Can you get through and under and around screens as well? Mm-hmm. KD's had a little bit of issues with that. Jabari Smith Jr. sometimes can be a little rough getting through screens. Not to say that he's bad, but I think you get what I'm trying to say. I think you see Josh Okogie. He's better at screen navigation. I think that's why he's in.
Yeah.
And I'm still very, very hopeful for what Dorian Finney-Smith will bring when he's able to actually play for this team. But a win is a win, and we will not knock that. But I think this is going to be an interesting thing to watch here for your Houston Rockets. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Very Houston-oriented, as this weekend, Janice McNair will go into the Texans Ring of Honor for her contributions to this team and to the city, which got us thinking. When it comes to Houston as a city, as an entire place, who are the most important figures in Houston sports history? Not athletes, important figures. 713-572-4610. We talk about that next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Time for the question of the day. Who are the most important figures in Houston's sports history? Remember, important figures, not necessarily best athletes or biggest athletes. Important figures, because I think that those things diverge a little bit. And the inspiration for this question, none other than Miss Janice McNair, who will be inducted into the Houston Texans Ring of Honor this weekend when the Texans face off against the Broncos. And obviously, it matters, right? In fact, can we get D'Amico Ryans talking about this? This is D'Amico cut 15 here, because D'Amico was asked, obviously, the cultural impact that he has being the coach and obviously playing and being drafted for this team. He's had a lot of interaction with Miss Janice. This was his thoughts on Miss Janice being inducted into the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I know it was a unanimous decision. Miss Janice, with just her love and affection for everybody. You talk about someone who's supports, who loves Texans football. Like, man, it wouldn't happen without Miss Janice and Bob bringing football back to Houston. So we're thankful, you know, as a city, we're thankful for them bringing football back to Houston. But just how, you know, she supports us in every, like in training camp, she's out there every day supporting the team. And I would say my fondest memory of Miss Janice is saying anytime I talk to her, she said, anytime you need a linebacker, I'm ready to go. So she loves football, she loves the Texans, and she's done everything right in her power to make sure, you know, we have everything that we need as a team to be as successful as possible. So we're all thankful for Miss Janice and the late Mr. Bob McNair for what they've done, all right, to bring football to Houston and have our city fired up about football again. Now, it's on us to continue to press it forward to take us to new heights.
They're definitely in the pantheon, right?
Oh, they both are.
The McNairs.
Yes, and Janice in the Ring of Honor is fantastic and probably a little overdue, because it was from the start, and I've mentioned this, you know, I was privileged to have traveled with along with them when they were trying to get an NFL team. And it was always Bob and Janice. Now, Bob was the face of it. And Bob, you know, deservedly, you know, ultimately made the calls as the primary owner and all that. But it was Bob and Janice. It was Bob and Janice. That was a team effort, which is kind of interesting because now it's Cal and Hannah. You know, it's Cal and Hannah.
Family business.
Hannah's just a little more face forward than Janice ever wanted to be, but she deserved every bit of it. So in terms of figures, I would say Bob and Janice definitely are in my top three.
But they're not a number one on this, huh?
Number one for me is Roy Hoffines.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it just has to be. You know how we all feel, or most of us feel about the Astrodome now. But to do that in that era, this was 1962, man. That's the year I was born. And he was space aging it. You know, he was space aging it with a dome stadium.
Eighth wonder of the world, man.
And an apartment he lived in there and suites. It was the first place that had suites.
Yeah.
Let's just hone in on that one thing. All the stadiums now.
And suites are a big deal
You can't build a high school stadium. Yeah. You can't build a high school stadium without suites.
Some people won't even go to a game unless it's a suite.
Right. First one.
Right. It's innovative in a lot of different ways, the Astrodome. And I think for me, you know me, I like the kind of cultural impact bringing it back to Houston. And that was a point of pride for a great long time, that Astrodome. Roy Hoffine's obviously able to bring that to the fore. I mean, obviously, you can also talk about the building at U of H being named after him for a while as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely a towering figure in this. Who else comes to mind for you? Because I have a number of them that come to mind. Some of them actually are athletes, but not because they and I hate using this phrase, transcended, but it felt like
their
figurehood
became, right.
And I ain't kissing cheeks necessarily, but I think nobody would argue with me when I say Justin James Watt, right? J.J. Watt as a figure for this team, but then also you got to talk about Hurricane Harvey and the way.
60-something million? I might be undershooting that.
The way that he rallied this city. Yeah. I mean, the city was going to rally together, but the people that end up being those inflection points for rallying, you could talk about Steve Gleason in New Orleans, like those people that show up as icons in that moment. J.J. Watt was one of those, and I don't think he intended to make himself a central figure. He just recognized with the place that I have, I can be a catalyst for good, and he did that.
And I think another one, I have two more that came to mind. One I think is a no-brainer. The other one, I hate it, but you got to give it. Liking a person doesn't mean
they... Bud Adams.
Bud Adams. Yeah. Bud Adams, man. I mean, $25,000, he wrote a check to get an AFL team. He called it the Houston Oilers, and then what happened? We became this.
And they moved on now.
Well, that's the part that we hate.
I know. I'm messing around.
But, I think even that matters.
Yeah.
Like, because again, culturally, the way that our city latches on to football, also, that's part of the tapestry of it. The idea and the way in which that team got moved away. In the same, I mean, you could talk about that with what was it, Art Modell up there in Cleveland as well.
Yeah.
That's part of it. He matters. He is important, even if it's infamy instead of fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first person I thought, obviously I didn't grow up here and all that stuff, but the first, when I seen this question, the first thing I thought about that was like non-athlete and all that stuff, first person popped in my mind was John McClane.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably preach to that a little more.
Mark Berman, you can also throw in there.
Yeah, Mark Berman.
Well,
I started thinking about Mark Berman. Just kind of some of the media figures that just been around for so long and just been here for, you know, so many years and just kind of.
I think those two, I think Milo Hamilton, if you're going by media figures, two figures that I feel maybe some people might let it slip through the cracks, and I don't want to do that because they changed the way their respective games were played.
Okay.
Like Guy V. Lewis.
Yeah, man.
And running and dunking and five slamma jamma and then up and down the court. And,
you know me.
Yeah.
I'm going to come with the culture side of it. Like that.
And yes.
That wrapped up the city in what U of H was doing.
And I'm glad you said that because this is a combo, so to speak, of UH coaches that just literally changed the way the game was played, and it's still being affected today. It's still being their effect is still being noticed today. Bill Yeoman.
Air Ray, baby.
No. That you're thinking Jack Pardee.
Oh, sorry.
But Bill Yeoman, Warren McVay, first head coach at a major school in Texas to integrate.
That's a great point.
When Texas and Texas A&M and Baylor, like, nope, we can't have African Americans on our team. Bill Yeoman said, Warren McVay, come on over here. And then all down the list. And, of course, he invented the Houston Veer.
Veer, there we go. I know that there was an innovation that I've now mixed up, but it's the Veer. Thank you.
He invented the Houston Veer, which begat the wishbone, which begat, even today, you could say that run RPOs are sort of a great grandson of the Houston Veer because it's options,
on
the edges. So like the Houston Veer to the wishbone to RPOs, I think Bill Yeoman might have had some.
100%. No, like that innovation that happens here absolutely pops up there. Some other answers that come in here. Mayor Bob Lanier came up here, and they said if not for him, the Oilers and Titans would still be here. But I think also Sean Pendergast brought up a great point that he was a large part of getting approved the new stadiums and arenas that this Houston city has, including your downtown arenas, which matters not just in the larger scale of in that time period. You're still in the midst, or even if at the tail end, of teams around the nation still moving out to suburbs as opposed to being in central hubs.
Mm-hmm.
But particularly for Houston, downtown, before that, was a problem.
It was a hellhole. I mean, anybody who's my age and maybe a little younger can remember it. Like Union Station was I think it was condemned. I think Union Station was condemned. And now, obviously, we know what it is. Toyota Center area, I'll put it this way. There would be no Edo. There would be no Washington Ave. There would be no Midtown without those stadiums coming downtown. Yeah, but you didn't, like when Like, after the Rockets won a championship, you know what the big party area was? Everybody went, flooded the street. Richmond Avenue up here.
Yeah.
Up here by
the summit.
By the summit,
at least.
And the Galleria area. Nobody dared go downtown. Like, nobody dared go downtown.
Yeah. What about, I think I heard you, Lopez, mention this a lot. Who was the person that was responsible for kind of bringing tailgating?
That was the McNairs.
Yeah.
Because Bud Adams, that's the one thing that way back that I didn't like.
I wasn't sure if it was somebody specific.
Say Jamie Roots.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't sure if it was Jamie Roots or.
Bob McNair hired Jamie Roots, and Jamie Roots was like part of their family. And Bud Adams, there was a big, like, you could not at Oilers games. I don't even think people can think of this, imagine this at this point. You could not, literally, they were going up and down in golf carts. You could not tailgate at Oilers games. Zero. Nothing.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it. You had to go in the stadium. That's it. Maybe someone opened their trunk and grabbed a Coke. That's about the extent of the tailgating. Jamie Roots and the McNairs said, no. We're going to embrace this. We're going to take it to another level. That's a really good one, Figgy.
I feel like there's a couple Rockets ones that I'd like to bring in here. Mm-hmm. And you know me, again, cultural ones. Hakeem Olajuwon, I'm very biased in that. Do I have to explain?
You don't have to be biased.
But I am biased with my Nigerian heritage. That means the whole different level of something to me as well. Rudy Tomjanovich, right? Obviously, where you talk about, we still have quotes from that championship era of the Rockets.
Yeah.
I think someone mentioned Les Alexander as the owner in that time period as well. Bum Phillips, I think.
Oh, 100%.
Like the tough culture of this Houston, like of Houston football.
Well, I think you can really look back to.
Yeah, 100%.
Sleeves rolled up, cowboy hat.
Yeah, I was going to say just the swag alone, man.
Yeah, that's it.
When you think of Bum Phillips, think of the Keaton. No, I'm just But when you think of Bum Phillips, you kind of think of that Houston. You
100%.
I think of Texas. Yes. I'll put it that way. Whenever I see him, I think of just the state of Texas.
And the timing was amazing because the Cowboys were America's team, but they were kind of Hollywood.
Yes.
You know, they were kind of Hollywood. And Bum Phillips said, screw that. I'm Texas.
Yeah.
I'm Houston.
Yeah. You know?
There's a lot of names coming in. Somebody, Mickey Gilley. Somebody mentioned, I don't want to miss it, Dickie Rosenfeld. And then here, Anita Martini, first woman sports reporter to enter men's locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of these coming in. Keep them coming in because it's fun to think about all the people that have made impacts.
Mattress
in
Mac.
Sport. Oh, we hadn't mentioned him? We had it written down, so I thought
I've seen it a couple times.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Mac. Yeah. You probably thinking, like, what he got to do with sports? Man, he's all about sports, man.
And elevates sort of the footprint of it all.
Yeah, 100%. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us here on this Thursday. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where the CBS posted an all-rookie team. How many Texans are on there? Let's do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.